listen to what the Spirit is saying. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were there in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak, and God would answer him in thunder. When the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai, to the top of the mountain, the Lord summoned Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people not to break through to the Lord to look. Otherwise, many of them will perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people are not permitted to come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and keep it holy.'" The Lord said to him, "Go down and come up, bringing Aaron with you. But do not let either the priest or the people break through to come up to the Lord. Otherwise, he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. Then God spoke all of these words. "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me."
The Jews took up stones against to stone him. Jesus replied, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these are you going to stone me?" The Jews answered, "It is not for a good work that we are going to stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, though only being human, are making yourself God." Jesus answered, "It is not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If those to whom the word of God came were called gods, and the scripture cannot be annulled, can you say that one whom the Father has sanctified and sent me into the world is blaspheming? Because I said, 'I am God's son'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." They then tried to arrest him again, but he escaped from their hands. He went away again across the Jordan to the place where John had baptized him earlier, and he remained there. Many came to him, and they were saying, "John performed no sign, but everything that John said about this man was true." Many believed him there.
My friends, it's good to see everyone here on this Baptism of the Lord Sunday. It is a signal honor for me always to be able to stand up and try to proclaim a word from the Lord. In fashion, as Pastor Dean has started for us, sneak a peek to the person to your left. If no one is there, this is your golden opportunity to find somebody you want to stare at. Don't give an uncomfortable stare, we're in church. Then look at someone to your right. And then let us pray for each other. For the person on your left, say a prayer to God that he or she might find themselves in a place today that will encourage and strengthen them. The person on your right, whisper a sentence to God for that person that they might continue to find favor in the Lord. And then turn your thoughts inward to yourself that you might continue or start to yield yourself to God that you might be strengthened in your journey. And then direct your thoughts to the woman servant before you and pray a word that God might use her to preach with clarity and conviction. Amen. For those of you who are joining us for the first time. We are in our sermon series. We're journeying with the Israelites to the Promised Land. We're looking at the second book of the Bible, Exodus, and we are picking up the story as the Israelites have made their way across the Red Sea. They are being led by a prophet named Moses, whom God sent for such a time as that. My friends, what is it about religion? What is it about encountering and experiencing the holiness of God? I believe our experiences, our concept of what religion is and means, our connectedness with spirituality oftentimes depends on where we are in seasons of change and new beginnings. Think about that for a second. I believe our understanding, our connectedness with spirituality oftentimes depends on where we are in seasons of change and new beginnings. For many of us, our understanding of God is greatly enhanced when our seasons and our journey has some sense of normalcy. For the believer, religion is reassuring. It gives us something to look forward to. It's helpful. It provides for us a sense of purpose and meaning in our lives. Just for a few moments, I want to make three points. And here's the first one. As much as we talk about new beginnings and change and our journeys, and again, for the season of 2013, we're going to be looking at journey. If we're honest with ourselves, we kind of like things to be normal. At least we know what we're dealing with. It's familiar, it's predictable. Normalcy brings a sense of comfort in our daily lives. For the most part, we like normal. It's the in-between times that throws many of us off kilter. And I just want to let you know that as you journey, all of us are going to experience in-between times. And it is during these times that our experience with God will likely be different. Not bad. I didn't say bad. Not horrible. It could be. I don't know. But it will be different. This is how it was for the Israelites. This group of people found themselves wandering in the wilderness. And as they were wandering, they were still remembering life back in Egypt, albeit tough. They were in slavery. They were in bondage. And albeit... Well, Pastor Dean preached about this a couple of Sundays ago. It was comforting for the Israelites to have a good meal, including meat and herbs and garlic. Pastor Dean mentioned that he thought that they had a diet that consisted of barbecue and cornbread. I believe they also had fried fish. Think about it. All those olive trees, that oil, putting it in a pot, heating it up, dropping the fish in there. That's fried, sisters and brothers, that's fried. Now, in this change, in this new journey towards the Promised Land, the Israelites found themselves eating this substance called manna. It was their daily bread that fell from heaven. It tasted nothing like barbecue and cornbread or fried fish. I don't ever want to taste manna. Let me take that back, God. I'm going to taste whatever you're going to provide. But I know I must be cousins to the Israelites because I like cornbread and I like barbecue. It brings me great comfort. So much so, a couple of us, after that first sermon that Pastor Dean preached, we went to a place. Would you believe the special for the day was barbecue? Would you believe I got it? So my friends, to suddenly become a vegetarian or a vegan must have been painful for them. I know it would be for me. But God sent this what is it so that they could be sustained on their journey. The Israelites' normal life in Egypt brought a sense of familiarity and comfort. Yes, they were slaves, but they knew what to expect from Pharaoh. This new beginning, this new journey, really was of little comfort to them starting out. In the text that Jake and Michael read for us, we hear about this magnificent encounter between God and Moses and the Israelites. We pick up the story as the Israelites make their way to Mount Sinai. Jennifer, I'm going to switch back to the other mic, please. God has asked Moses to summon the people and for them to prepare for the journey ahead. God reveals God's self on Mount Sinai in thunder, in lightning, in smoke, and trumpets. And there, God spoke. That must have been some kind of scene. Later in the same chapter, we learned that the people were fearful of how God revealed God's self. Growing up in the Han household, every time it would thunder and lightning, Ella Han, my mom, would turn out all the lights in the house. And she'd get all three of us kids and would put us on the couch. And she'd let us know that this is the time to be quiet because God was doing God's thing during this time. We couldn't use the bathroom. We couldn't get a snack. I didn't know how long this thunder and lightning was going to last. But Ella Han would sit us all on the couch, and then she would start reading or reciting poetry to us. Anybody ever heard of Paul Laurence Dunbar? Yes. I did not learn about Paul Laurence Dunbar in school. I learned about it at 3550 Sargent Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, because Ella Han would have her candle, and she would start saying this in the morning poem. And I remember it to this day. Lias, Lias, bless the Lord. Don't you know the days is broad? If you don't get up, you scamp, there gonna be trouble in this here camp. And she would say the whole thing. And then my brother would pretend to be Lias, and we would got to poke and prod him along the way. And my dad would just sit over there and just laugh. We didn't become as fearful about the thundering and lightning, because God was doing God's thing and Ella Han was providing us comfort. When God addresses the people at Mount Sinai, this was the dialogue that preferenced what we have come to know as the Ten Commandments. Now, this is the second point that I want to make. There is a key nugget that I don't want us to miss in this text. In all of the mystery and majesty of God revealing God's self in that mountain, God said something very provocative and very powerful, and we find it in Exodus 20, verse 1. I am the Lord your God. If you think about it, when we first talk about the Ten Commandments, what's the very first commandment we say? You remember? You shall have no other gods before me. We always start with that, right? That's the second part of that. God first says, I am the Lord your God. Friends, this was not a happenstance kind of word. This was a declarative statement from the Holy One that set all the other nine up. He said, I am the Lord your God. In other words, God wanted to make it crystal clear. I am the one that brought you out of Egypt where you were in bondage. I am the one that's making provisions for you on this journey. I am the one that's ultimately going to bring you to the promised land. I am. Then you shall have no other gods before me. For some of us, the journey into 2013 has already been life-changing. Some of us have new births in our family. Just about 4 or 5 days ago, my 41st cousin on my mother's side was born. Her name is Hayden Grace. She is gorgeous. I know we're cousins, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Some of you have gotten it. Now you did. Some of us have experienced deaths in our families, and the freshness and newness of this person not being in our lives any longer is still wrenching our heart. Some of us have started a new job or about to. Some of us have brought a new home. Some have gained citizenship. Some of us have started the journey, the process of expanding our family on a permanent basis. Some have been diagnosed with a challenging medical condition. Some of us have ended a long-time relationship with a partner or a spouse, or that person has ended their relationship with us. Either way it's happened, it is tough. Some of us have made resolutions to eat less and exercise more. How's that working out? Working pretty good. Yesterday, I was sitting on the couch and having a reasonably healthy snack, Paula. It was sweet potato chips, but they were fried, but it was sweet potato chips. Just saying, it was reasonably healthy. And a friend sent me a text that was going to take a very lengthy bike ride. And as I read the text, I ate my chips. And I went, okay, God, I know I've prayed for good weather. So it propelled me to get up and get on my bike and get out there and ride. My friends, we are only 13 days into this new journey. When we have events and situations in our life that garner a lot of our attention and energy, that may frustrate us or overshadow us, consume us, or break us, I imagine that our experience with God is different. It's different than, say, normalcy in our lives. When our life is sinking fairly well, you know, when our family is not as dysfunctional as they normally are, when our friendships are nurturing, when love is blissful, we're just looking at our partner or spouse and just, oh, he's so wonderful, oh, she's so beautiful. When our job is not great, but it's not that bad either. When the barbecue and fish are exceptionally well, or the tofu, if that's your thing. When everything is working and sinking reasonably well, we really believe at that time that God is great. We proclaim it. Oh, God, you're so wonderful. Thank you for all of the blessings. What an awesome God you are. And just when we least expect it, Brother Chuck, here comes the thunder and lightning and smoke and trumpets. Our lives cease to be normal. In fact, some of life gets so tough that it starts to feel like we're living in hell. We lament to God, this is not the journey that I want to travel. I don't want to deal with the death. I don't want to be weighed down with financial burden. I don't want to be in a foreign place. I don't want to manage the challenge of kids and grandkids. I definitely don't want the pain of a broken relationship. I can't handle the foreign disease invading my body. I can't. I don't want. Questions about this whole concept of religion and a loving God start to emerge in our mind. It is during these times that our experience with God, we start to cry out, make it stop. Make it go away, God. I just want my life to be normal again. Even if normal wasn't all of that great, at least I knew what to expect. My friends, when Moses was on that mountain with God, God spoke. God chose Moses as the leader. Yes, God taught through Moses, but it was God that spoke. In the John text that was read for us, Jesus reminded the Jews his teaching did not belong to him, but to God. God chose Jesus as the one. Here's the third point that I want to make. God is God all by God's self. We can't contain or constrict her. We can't box him in or tie him down. We can't put limits on God. Have you ever wondered why God chose to reveal God's self in the thunder and lightning and smoke and trumpets? Here is the simple answer. Because God can. God will use whatever God desires to get our attention. God claims us. God calls us. God shakes us up. God reminds us that God won't and cannot be contained. And it is in that moment of the thunder and lightning and smoke and trumpets in your life that God speaks.